The Age of Chaucer.
Juan that April, with his sure as soter, the drought of March hath persed to the rotor, and barthered every vine in switch liqueur, of which vertu engendered is the floor. When Zephyrus ache with his sweeter breath, in spirit hath in every halt and heath the tenderer croppies, and the younger son hath in the ram his halver course y-run, and smaller fallers maken melody that sleepen all the nicht with open e, so pricken hem nature in her courages, than longen folk to go on pilgrimages, and palmers to be seeking foreign strands, to distant shrines renowned in sundry lands, and then from every English countryside, especially to Canterbury they ride, there to the holy sainted martyr kneeling, that in their sickness sent them help and healing. Now in that season it befell one day, in Southwark at the tabard as I lay, ready upon my pilgrimage to start toward Canterbury, reverent of heart, there came at night into that hostelry full 29 in a company, people of all kinds that had chanced to fall in fellowship, and they were pilgrims all, riding to Canterbury.
So begins Geoffrey Chaucer's The Canterbury Tales. So begins also, for many of us, the canon of English literature. The season is spring, the atmosphere one of freshness and expectation. In relaxed rhyming couplets, the poet draws us into his world, including himself amongst a group of pilgrims of all kinds who shared a purpose, to make their leisurely way to the shrine of St. Thomas a Becket in Canterbury. On the way, they will talk and drink and tell tales. The Canterbury Tales is not, of course, the first literary text in English, but it is certainly the first masterpiece, unless one accords that title to Chaucer's other great work, Troilus and Cressida. The magnificent epic Beowulf, dating probably from the 8th century, is written in Anglo-Saxon, or Old English, but is not really accessible, except in modernised form. With the coming of the Normans in 1066, English, or Middle English, as the medieval version is known, was relegated to the population at large, while French became the language of the educated and the courtly. English had to wait until the 14th century before genius in the shape of Chaucer and his contemporaries adopted it, and thus initiated perhaps the greatest literary tradition the world has seen. Chaucer, born around 1343, is the best known of a group of poets who chose, in the second half of the 14th century and under the cultivated patronage of King Richard II, to write in English rather than Latin or French. Latin had been the language of scholarship and the church, while French was spoken at court. Now a new spirit was abroad. The bonds of feudalism began to loosen as England slowly recovered from the economic devastation of the Black Death. The Peasants' Revolt of 1381, in spite of its failure, nevertheless signalled a new spirit of freedom and a radical questioning of religious authority. Literature in English, influenced by the courtly romance tradition of the continent and at the same time reaching back to its Anglo-Saxon roots, grew rapidly in this benign climate. The Canterbury Tales is astonishing in its assurance and sophistication, with nothing quaint or remote about the writing. Chaucer, son of a London vintner, protégé of John of Gaunt, and a much-travelled diplomat who visited Italy in 1373 and may have met Boccaccio and Petrarch, moves easily between ploughman, knight, or prioress. The pilgrim portraits are gently ironic and beautifully observed. The tone is mainly satirical, yet Chaucer often cannot conceal his admiration for the spirited rogue or outrageous hypocrite. In the optimistic, entrepreneurial society of his time, men and women who live life with energy and gusto may be forgiven their moral failings. Chaucer begins his catalogue with the knight.